What are you hoping for from our state legislature this year? Is there any legislation you hope will pass, or fail to pass, for that matter? Our guest lawmaker is interested in your ideas for public policy issues during this first half of our state capitol report. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday, December 24th. A Merry Christmas Eve to you. Recently, Democratic State Senator Kathleen Vinehout put out a release for her constituents asking them for ideas for legislation for 2013. So we thought, well, let's hear from listeners statewide on this during this edition of our State Capitol Report. What do you want the state legislature to focus on in January when they get back in session? And why? Is there a specific bill that you would propose if you were a state legislator? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Well, let me welcome our guest. We are very happy to have with us Kathleen Vinehout, Democratic State Senator from Alma. Good morning.
Merry Christmas Eve.
Yeah, Merry Christmas Eve to you. So why did you put out this call for good ideas?
Good ideas lead to good legislation. And in the past, I've had many good ideas from constituents, and many of them became bills, and some of them actually passed. So at this time of year, I'm always looking for good ideas, and this was the time for people to let me know. A lot of people around the Capitol right now are working on bills and doing their homework, and of course, we can't introduce a bill until after the new legislature is sworn in on the 7th of January, but certainly people are doing their homework right now.
Yeah, well, are you working on any particular legislation that you might be introducing or rolling out next year?
Oh, you bet. I have many bills that are in drafting right now, and one of the biggest issues in my district is how we respond to the explosion of sand mines in the last 2 years. And I had several bills last year that I introduced, and many more good ideas. And a lot of the good ideas that came from the column are related to sand mines. So there's six or seven bills I've got in drafting right now related to sand mines.
Well, in fact, I wanted to follow up a little bit on sand mines because I had a Facebook listener post under a different heading when I said what Christmas presents would you like to give to your state legislators, and Linda posted on Facebook, I would like to give everyone in the state legislature a small tree to remind them of the importance of our natural environment and how we are damaging it here in Wisconsin by allowing pipelines to run through our state carrying tar sand oil and by allowing frack sand mining. So what would your legislation do about the frack sand mining boom that we're seeing in parts of Wisconsin?
Well, the first bill has to do with making sure people in their neighborhood know what's happening. And the idea of knowing what's happening and then being able to respond to it is the biggest message I hear over and over again from my constituents. The first bill came from a fellow in Sparta who called me a summer ago and said, there's a sand mine going in across the road from me, and I didn't know anything about it, and this is wrong, and please can you help me fix it? And from that bill, from that conversation, came a bill that had to do with disclosure, requiring everybody in local government who's going to have a hearing related to a sand mine to let everyone know within a mile of that mine, proposed mine site, let them know by first-class mail 30 days before there was going to be a hearing so that the people could respond, so they could be involved in the process of deciding whether or not there was going to be a mine there. A number of other bills have kind of came along this same idea. I had a fellow call me a couple months ago who put his dream house in rural Jackson County, was putting the finishing touches on a home that was over $100,000 investment, and realized that three of his four neighbors had contracts with sand mines. And he wrote me an email and said, please help me. I'm just devastated. What am I going to do? So from this conversation came another bill related to real estate disclosure. If there's going to be a sale of real estate property, there needs to be a disclosure if there's going to be a mine on contiguous property. After that, another fellow called me and said, hey, it's not next door, but it's within a stone's throw away that a subdivision is going up in rural Jackson County, within a stone's throw away of the proposed mine, and no one that's buying these subdivision plots has any idea that there's going to be a mine a mere over a 10-acre parcel away. So this has led to another series of bills. So I would say I keep talking and listening to constituents, and we keep coming up with more good ideas.
Now, it's going to be a budget year for Wisconsin next year, and Governor Walker has said he wants the legislature to focus on some key areas like tax cuts and jobs and transportation among his top priorities. Are you in sync with the governor's priorities?
Well, right now it's not clear exactly how those priorities get translated into specific proposals. Mm-hmm. I was leading Democrat on Representative Voss's committee that spent the summer looking into alternatives for income tax reform. There was a report that just came out a week ago Friday that talked about some of those ideas. The ideas, in theory, are very good. How they get translated into the budget is another question. And, of course, we have some basic principles that we all agree on. Whether or not there is a fairness in how those principles get translated, we'll see when we see the governor's budget.
Well, we have full lines, so you're going to get a lot of ideas.
That's good.
Let's start taking calls. And Dwayne in Hayward is with us first. Hello, Dwayne.
Good morning. I hope our legislators all uphold their oath of office and do away with our concealed carry law in favor of constitution carrying. I hope they uphold their oath of office, understand the Constitution, and do away with the gun-free school zone so we can protect their children better from nuts like happened in Connecticut.
All right, so constitutional carry, I guess you don't need a permit to carry a weapon. I think that's what that means, Senator Vinehout, and do away with gun-free school zones. Your thoughts on that?
Well, when I talk with constituents about what their concerns are, in the last week or so, guns have certainly taken the top priority. But as you can tell from our caller, we have very different views on what that actually means. Some people think it means more guns. Some people think it means less guns. Right now, we're having a very public discussion about guns in the future and what our society should look like. And I think this is a discussion that needs to be had. Certainly, I'm listening to a lot of people in my neighborhood that are telling me very different things. And it's going to be difficult to sift through that to figure out what type of legislation can pass, especially in a very Republican environment.
Yeah, we will be talking with State Representative Fred Kessler coming up after 7:30. Representative Kessler and a couple of his colleagues in the Milwaukee area did propose that they're going to be introducing various gun control measures like banning assault weapons, a proposal to ban assault weapons in Wisconsin, among some other changes. So we'll be talking more about that coming up after 7:30. Let's go next to Stephen in Mount Pleasant. Hello, Stephen.
Hello. I'd like a proposed bill that would have the state give legal assistance to municipalities that have a multinational corporation force their way in with just the threat of legal, lawsuits, where my municipality could not afford the lawsuit. So now we're getting a Walmart mini grocery store in an area where there's 5 grocery stores within 1 mile, and it's running local businesses out.
I didn't understand that. So Walmart was threatening legal action if the community didn't allow it in?
We don't have that kind of a legal war chest to fight a Walmart.
Yeah.
So I think the state should be able to step in and help us when we can't afford to fight a big legal battle like that.
Have you heard about this type of situation, Senator Vinehout?
I have, and it's in a different context, Stephen, but it's the same message I hear from local government. And this has to do with sand mines that are basically being built by people who, behind the veil, when you tear away the fake front company, are from the oil and gas industry in Texas who are threatening exactly the same thing. They're telling local government, if you do not allow us to have this sand mine, we are going to bring all our forces from Texas, all our lawyers, and basically keep you tied up in court until your local government has no more money. This brings up a very important role that state government can play with local government. And far too long, the Constitution created our local government as entities of the state. And far too long, with our relationship between the state and local government, it's been top down. The state's told local government to do something. At the same time, the state's given the responsibility to local government and hasn't given them all of the support. I do believe that we should change that relationship so that there's more of a partnership between local government and the state. And I can think specifically of the sand mines, of how we need all the resources of the Department of Natural Resources to be at the disposal of local government so that they can come back and say to the local to the local towns and municipalities that they've got some backing behind them. And this is, Stephen brings up another good example of what happens when the community says, look, we want to support our local businesses. We don't want our big box store. Big box store can go down the road to a different community that wants them. Where do we get the resources to fight them? And we do have some resources at the state level, but it certainly hasn't been the kind of relationship that needs to be to create that kind of partnership between local government and state government.
We're talking with Kathleen Vinehout, a Democratic State Senator from Alma. She is taking your ideas for legislative bills. What bill would you introduce if you were a state legislator? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Checking the weather forecast for today. It's going to be a cloudy day. There is a chance we'll see some patchy, light, freezing drizzle, maybe even a chance of snow today. Not much, though. Highs will be in the upper 20s and lower 30s. Skies clearing tonight, very cold, lows below zero in northern Wisconsin, four below in the north, two single digits above in the south, and then on Christmas Day, sunny and cold with highs in the teens and 20s. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Even though it's his busiest time of the year, Santa always makes time to stop by the Wisconsin Public Radio studios on Christmas Eve. Larry Mueller will welcome in the jolly old Saint Nick at 11 o'clock this morning through 12:30 and looks forward to calls from girls and boys. So gather the kids and call in and talk with Santa between 11 and 12:30 today, Christmas Eve. This is our State Capitol Report. I'm Joy Cardine talking in this half of our State Capitol Report with Kathleen Vinehout, Democratic State Senator from Alma. We've got lots of callers, but Senator Vinehout, what do you want for Christmas in terms of state politics?
Well, I would like Democrats and Republicans to get along and work together. And out in western Wisconsin, I'm surrounded by Republicans, except for just to the south of me, where I share the border with Senator Schilling from La Crosse. So in the rural areas, we do get along, partly, I suppose, because we have to live together for the next three generations. So we're careful about what we say to each other and how we say it. And I'd like to take some of that civility to Madison.
Mm-hmm. And do you think that Republicans and Democrats may be able to work together on public policy this year?
I do think so. I think that we are beginning to have some discussions that, frankly, really surprised me. I had was the chief sponsor of a press conference a couple weeks ago where we talked about poverty in schools, and I was approached after the press conference by a representative from the governor's office who said, the governor really would like to sit down and talk with you about schools, and the governor knows that you know a lot about fair funding and schools and problems with schools, and we want your ideas. So shortly after the new year, I'll be meeting with the governor's top policy person, and that frankly surprised me because that outreach hadn't been there before from the governor's office. So maybe we are starting a new era in Wisconsin. I can at least hope for that and work for that.
That's promising. Jim in River Falls is with us. Hello, Jim.
Hi. You talked about assistance from the state for local governments, but kind of along those same lines, we used to have a public intervener in Wisconsin, which would help individuals when it came to environmental issues, where companies were coming in or they had problems due to destruction of environment by either companies or businesses. And that was gotten rid of, I think, under Tommy Thompson. I talked to Governor Doyle at one point. He said, well, if the legislation was brought to him, he would support it. And it was, and he didn't, unfortunately. But I think that would be an important thing for to help citizens out in the state.
Would you like to reinstate the public intervener, Senator Vinehoff?
Yes, I certainly would. I ran for governor, and I talked about that when I ran for governor. It's the old problem that we have, that people who run for governor promise something, and then when they get to be governor, they don't. Governors don't like to give up power, and this has really been a problem for both Republican and Democratic governors. Of course, we've seen that the sort of centralization of power within the governor, within the governor's office, even more so under Governor Walker, and the rulemaking process, which used to be something that the legislature controls, and a lot of those DNR rules that we're talking about are that the Republicans want to change will come through the rulemaking process, and this now is a process that begins and ends with the governor, and it's a real problem, and I'm afraid that we're going to see more and more erosion of our environmental protections rather than less. Certainly, the work of the Consumer Protection Division at the Department of Ag is a very important part of consumer protection, something I use all the time with constituents who have a business that they feel like has not treated them well. But that, again, is a part of state government that's been cut back and cut back and cut back. And certainly, if I were governor, I would put more resources into DADCAP, and I would reinstate the office of the public intervener. But unfortunately, I'm just a low-level legislator from Western Wisconsin, and I keep talking about it, but we need to make it happen.
Thanks, Jim, for the call. An email from Dave in Seymour. If people have the right to earn money anywhere without some of it being taken away to financially support an organization they wouldn't support politically, then don't they also have the right to spend money anywhere with the same expectation, be it union or super PAC? Not sure I follow this. Right to work legislation, he goes on, needs to be balanced with right to buy legislation. Well, maybe your reaction to that, maybe you understand that.
Well, I think what he's alluding to is the idea that if he belongs to an organization, that organization is going to take some of his money and use it for dues. For example, I'm a member of Farm Bureau, mm-hmm. and when I put my Farm Bureau dues in, there's a $3 or $5 amount that goes to the PAC that Farm Bureau uses to support people that are running for office. I can decide to not put that money in or to put that money in. So mm-hmm. whether or not I decide is really my mm-hmm. decision. But a lot of times when people pay their dues, they say, oh, wait a minute, you're using my membership dues for political action. I think that may be where the...
Yeah. Let me ask you, if you... the governor says right-to-work legislation is not a priority of his, even though some conservative governors have pushed it in their states. Do you fear that that a right-to-work bill is going to make its way through the legislature?
Well, I think it's likely that it's going to be something that will be introduced. Probably it will come from the Assembly. But from what I hear about my Republican colleagues in the Senate, the problem with the votes is in the Senate. So it may be that the governor knows that there's not enough votes in the Senate to pass it. The governor's been very careful to not say that he would veto it. So he just says it's not his priority. So that makes me think two things. It makes me think that he's probably made a promise to some of his funders that he would support it. And he probably knows that he's never going to have to deal with it because the votes aren't there in the Senate. But that said, that doesn't mean that it couldn't come forward. It just means that he's saying that it's mm-hmm. not part of his package of priorities. So it's certainly something that the Democrats and all of those people that are supporting workers will be watching very carefully.
Ron in Independence is with us. Hello, Ron. What's your idea?
Good morning. Merry Christmas.
You too.
Mine is pretty trivial, but I feel it's important. It's a safety factor. If you can't see the sun, you need your lights on your car or truck or whatever. How many times do we drive around in the fog and in the snow and people driving around without their lights on?
I remember this coming up in the state legislature in the past, something about your lights should be on if your windshield wipers are ever on or something like that. Kathleen Weinhout, what about a rule the way Ron suggests?
Well, we do have rules that say that, or laws that say that if you can't see the sun, you need to have your lights on. I don't think it's written quite the way that Ron wants to, and maybe he's suggesting a good idea that we need to revisit the way that that law is written. This is really a problem in western Wisconsin. We live along the river, and frequently it's very, very foggy, and people are not paying attention to the laws that are already out there, and it causes accidents. We've got icy roads, windy roads. Of course, western Wisconsin is filled with beautiful hills, but some of those roads are difficult and sometimes treacherous, and it's very important that people pay attention to the laws that are already on the books, which, of course, brings us back to an interesting problem when we're writing bills, which is how do we enforce them? If we write a law and it's not enforced, we might as well not have the law, and it's something we need to consider when we're considering that process of writing laws.
Well, we have many more callers, but only a minute to go. What would a successful 2013 look like to you?
Well, first of all, we need to work together and find those bills that we can all agree on. And Joy, there is a Democratic proposal that the Republicans and the governor support. You might not have heard about this, but we've even gotten support from the transportation builders. And I think it ought to be brought up when we talk to Santa Claus at 11 a.m. And that's the proposal that we ought to expand the landing pads for Santa Claus all around the state.
There we go. All right. Well, I hope you can come back and we can talk more about state public policy. Thanks very much for being with us.
You bet. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Kathleen Weinhout, Democratic State Senator from Alma. Coming up after we check news in the second half of our State Capitol Report, Democratic State Representative Fred Kessler will join us to talk about his proposal to ban assault weapons in Wisconsin and some other gun control measures that he would like to see in wake of the tragedy in Newtown, Connecticut. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.